Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Have you been thinking of becoming a Saints Happy Hour patron? We have an offer you can't refuse. Sign up, and if you don't think Saints Happy Hour is the best daily Saints podcast and you aren't having a blast chatting on our private Discord channel with other Saints fans, we will refund your money. No questions asked. If you sign up at the $10 level, you can even keep our Boost Bundle welcome gift after the refund. You have absolutely nothing to lose, so go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
Ralph Marlboro was supposed to join us at 1:15. He apparently had something way more important to do than be on the show. Ralph, what do you say for you?
I apologize to you and the great listeners of your program. My washing machine, Gus, exploded last night, as I said on my podcast, and it was a disaster. But here's the thing. You know, you never clean behind the washing machine, right? And we had like a science project behind there, and my wife freaked out. She's like, you got to get back here. We might have a body. We might have an alien life form. We might have the swamp thing. Yeah. You got to get back there and help me clean. And I was doing that, and I totally –
Well, look, I understand you're in Houston, so there's humidity, there's, you know, God knows what that lives back there. Believe me, I'm in the same boat. I don't have the washer and dryer in the house. That is hopefully an addition once I get more money in my life. But that's one of the things I wanted to touch on here is since you're over there, dude, I mean, what the Texans have done this offseason. Look, I jokingly had a new team draft on the show after the Saints season ended, and I had the number one pick overall, if you remember, and I took the Texans. 4K took the Texans. Chef Scotty's got the Bengals, you know, in case it takes a while for the Saints. So we drafted new teams to follow. But if I was a legit real Texans fan, my goodness. I mean, they are – I mean – what do you make of the moves, including today with Stephon Diggs?
The thing with the Texans are they understand the assignment perfectly in that they had this timeline that they were working on. Hey, it's going to take a couple of years and this and that. And they hit on CJ Stroud, and they immediately understood, oh, we have a top seven quarterback on a rookie quarterback contract, and we're paying him nothing? Oh, our window is open. It's time to go get this now. And they, you know, some teams would be like, no, we're still going to be patient. And this, that. The Texans are going for it now. And I give them full credit. I give them full credit for doing what they're doing. The only thing I'm arguing with Saints fans on Twitter is like, the Texans, it wasn't a one-year fix, man. They've been in the wilderness for 4 years. It took them three coaching hires. It took them three coaching hires. Carolina not picking the right quarterback. D'Amico Ryan's being available. Like, it wasn't like they went from decent to good. Like, they were an abomination. Gus, in last January, people were like, the Texans don't know what they're doing. They're about to hire their third coach in 3 years.
Ralph, but no coach wanted to go there. I mean, no player wanted to go there in free agency. No player wanted to go there in free agency. It's what we talked about last year. The We've all seen all those makeover shows, you know, on different channels on cable.
Right.
I cannot think of a more franchise makeover than what the Houston Texans have done.
That's right. Yeah. They did it. And it was the Saints did it in 2006.
They did.
Right?
You know, they did.
They were a disaster coming off Katrina. Boom, you get Reggie Bush, you get Sean Payton. And it can be a quick fix because the Saints, you take out the Katrina year, the end of Haslett, they weren't bad. They were 500 for four straight years under Haslett. Before Katrina. So, like, that was really kind of a one-year fix. But, like, my only thing with the Texans is, like, don't pretend like the Texans was a one-year fix because I've been living here, buddy, and they were an abject disaster for 3 years in a row. So that's my only caveat with the Texans. But listen, they're going for it, and they are like, we are in this. we're trying to win the AFC, and we're not waiting. We're doing it now. And listen, I think it's the right way, because here's the thing. You got Pat Mahomes in the AFC. You can't take your time. You can't be conservative. Like, you got to go all out, guns a-blazing, try to get it. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But it's a fun time. It's a fun time for the Texans. I do wish the Saints kind of had that media darling mojo, but we don't.
Yeah, no doubt. But anyway, that's a big thing. I mean, obviously, we're trying to get weapons and things of nature. I was on Fox 8 yesterday on one of their many shows. Jeff Duncan was with us. Sean Fasan was hosting. And it was funny because we were talking about the draft for 3 weeks from tomorrow, if you can believe that, Ralph. And, you know, Jeff said it. Sean says, like, look, this team has holes and everything. And we go back and forth every Wednesday, whatever R word you want to use, retooling, reshaping, rebuilding. Yeah. They're redoing something. I mean, it's because Jeff brought it up. There's holes at pretty much every position. And if that's the case, you're open to whatever it is. Now, that said, Ralph. There's no way you're not drafting a tackle at 14, right? I mean, there's no way. Is there?
That's the thing. I think that's it's a great question. And we were trying to argue it on my podcast last night. We were saying, and I was trying to bring this up. I was like, what is a player that would fall to 14 that could possibly fall? What's a non-quarterback? Because let's say the four quarterbacks are going to go, I think, top four. So it's not a quarterback. But what non-quarterback could fall to 14? That would make the Saints either A, say, listen, we're not taking a tackle at 14 because this guy is so good, whether it's Cooper DeJean, whoever you want to think of, Brock Bowers, whoever. Okay. Who's a player that could fall to 14 that would make them not pick a tackle? Or who's a player that could make them do the unthinkable, Gus, and teams behind them would be like, trade down with us, Saints. And the Saints would do it and say, hey, oh, Green Bay, you want Cooper DeJean at 14, we're going to trade down to 25, and you're going to give us an extra second, an extra third, and we're going to do it, and we're going to risk not getting a tackle. Like, that's the question to me about this draft. Like, is there a player that's so good that it could move, that could make them not take the tackle at 14? I don't think a trade down just is in Mickey Loomis's DNA. I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Right.
I just am – I'm unsure. Like, I don't know their board. I would have to think – if I had to guess, it would be an edge guy. Like, they might have an edge guy that we think is like the 10 to 15 range that the Saints have as like a top five dude. And they're like, we're taking that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I just Googled for bleeps and giggles here. Daniel Jeremiah, top prospects, not by position, not where he thinks they're going, just top 15, right? The Saints have 14. At 15 is Vishanu, the offensive tackle for Penn State, who a lot of people have mocked there, which is what I'm saying. Hey, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. At 14, you just said it. Edge, Florida State, Jared Verse. Seeing that go even as high to the Falcons. But so he's there. Quinnen Mitchell, Toledo, cornerback at 13. I'm going up now. Fatanu, the tackle from Washington, is 12. Dallas Turner, who I see pretty much – he's a Falcon for a lot of that's the edge that I see from Bama at 11. Joe Alt, tackle from Notre Dame. I'm going to stop there just because I've named three tackles between 10 and 15. So that's what I'm getting at. For me to not go 14 with a tackle, like, it's because, to your point, who that person better blow you away as to where it's going to be there. Another tackle from Oregon State, Fuaga, is 9. Terrion Arnold, the corner from Bama, is 8. Brock Bowers is 7. Now, early mocks, I saw that. Is that a guy that if he's somehow fallen to 14, Raiders go quarterback, Broncos go quarterback, there's 6 quarterbacks taken in the top, 13 picks, Brock Bowers is there, could that be the player you can live with if the Saints pass tackle for?
I mean, I wouldn't, but here's the thing. Like, if Kubiak, Kubiak is like, Kubiak's got to basically be a head coaching candidate next January, I think, for the Saints to be good in 2024. So, like, if Kubiak is jumping up and down on the table saying he wants Brock Bowers, I think they would go that way. The interesting thing for me at Bowers at 14 is, would a team at, like, the Bengals, like 19 or 20, be like, hey, Saints, trade down from 14 to 20 so we can get Brock Bowers and you get extra third round pick. And like, if there's three, if there's still like three tackles on the board, would the Saints say like, hey man, we get extra pick and we can roll the dice and maybe get our tackle at 20. Like they don't usually, the Saints usually don't do the draft that way, but that would be interesting. And to my point, Gus, is this is one thing I've been thinking about recently a lot. The thing that worries me most about the Saints is not Derek, is not Dennis Allen, is not Derek Carr. The thing that worries me the most about the Saints is I feel like their team building philosophy is out of alignment. Like they're cleaning up their cap clearly, right? They haven't spent hardly any
quietly.
Money
you're right. You're right. They are
cleaning up the cap, and that's a 2-year process. And look, I don't like it. It's boring. I wish they would kick the can to 2030 and just keep doing it. But I understand it. They're like, we're not a contender. We're not going to be a top five cash spending team if we're not a true contender for the Super Bowl. It's a defensible decision. I get it. But Gus, you can't be a team that doesn't participate in free agency and a team that trades future draft assets and trades up in the draft. If you're not going to build your team through free agency, you got the Saints these next 2 years need to have 8-10 player drafts, because that's how they're going to get this roster fixed. And right now, if they're going to burn future second and third round picks in the draft and not spend in free agency, I feel like it's completely out of alignment.
Wow.
And that concerns me tremendously because it doesn't make sense. So like, I just would wish the Saints just think about trading down, but if you're not going to trade down, don't trade up. Just please, for the love of God, don't trade up. But I do think it's interesting. I think you're right. I think Brock Bowers being there at 14 is the one guy. He's like a chaos agent into the draft. Like if he's there at 14, I think you could have chaos at 14 for the Saints.
We ran out of time. Maybe we'll do this next Wednesday. Because in Daniel Jeremiah's thingamajig here, top prospects, at 2 is a receiver, Marvin Harrison. At 3 is Rome Odunze, receiver from Washington. At 4 is Malik Nabers. I'm seeing him be as high as, you know, top 5, top 3 first receiver taken today.
Right.
So that's 3 receivers right there, mm-hmm. Right? If you add Bowers at 7, that's 4 skilled players in the top 7. We know that's not going to happen. We know at least 3 to 4 quarterbacks will.
That's right.
If Sean Payton was still in this building, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those receivers is hanging out there. You know, the Falcons ain't going to take him at 8. Man, you could probably get really good receiver at 9 or 10 if you move up. We're not trading down, Ralph. I don't want to hear any of that. They need a player.
They need
a player.
I mean, here's the thing. I said that I would burn down the building if they traded up.
Yeah.
If they traded up and it was for Nabers. My lettuce fine.
That's what I'm saying. Malik Nabers. I mean, you know, even Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think he gets that up. But if Malik Nabers is there, I'd like it. I don't know. But to right. Our point, I think that you've brought up an eye point. It has to be a player that is a jersey seller day one.
Right.
If you don't take tackle, you agree with me on that as we go to break?
That's right.
Okay.
It has to be such a game changing player.
Right.
When people say they still don't have any tackles,
yeah.
We tell them, shut up. They got Nabers. I got my LSU jersey exactly. on. Like, that's the kind of player that
yeah.
has to be.
It's got to be like the Bengals a couple of years ago. Do you go Jamar Chase or a tackle? Honestly, I don't even remember his name anymore. But remember yeah. when everyone was going at? And I was on the radio saying, get Jamar Chase. So
that's right.
There we go. All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time.
All right. Next week.
There he goes. Ralph Marlborough, Sean Fox next.